All right, so it is February 14th at 5:03-ish p.m., and I hereby bring the monthly business meeting of the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority to order. We'll start with rules of conduct. Do we need to update those again?
I think he was reading them aloud.
I don't have...
Sean, this is John Leslie. Yeah. I think Tom wanted to have take some time at the beginning of the meeting just to go over rules of conduct since we are back in a public in-person meeting forum. I don't know if you have a copy of those or not.
No, I don't have a copy, and we don't have any public, so if anyone... has them and wants me to read them, I'm happy to, but otherwise I'll just move on. All right, so roll call. Cameron Gogas.
Here.
And Kathy.
Here.
Ann.
Here.
This is Sean Carlton. I'm here. We've got Tom joining us by video, and as well the authority manager. Can you hear us, John?
He said here.
Yeah, I can hear you, Sean.
Okay. All right, so next up is the minutes from the January 10th, 2023 business meeting. Does anyone have any questions on the minutes?
January 10th. Yes, I do. On staff presence, it shows John Wesley, Rochelle, and Jedediah Pippinger. I don't remember Jedediah.
He was on video.
I've got a question. When we ask who's here, I would like it to be noted when we're doing roll call if there is anybody on video that it be announced so that it will show up in the minutes, because I had no idea that.
Okay, so John is also on here, and Tim with the Pacific City Sun is also on right now,
okay.
Just so everybody knows.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the January 10th minutes? Ann?
Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the January 10th, 2023 business meeting minutes.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to accept the January 10th, 2023 business meeting minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right, motion carries. Item 4B, minutes for the February 3rd, 2023 special meeting. Does anyone have any comments or questions? Ann?
Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the January 10th, 2023 business meeting minutes.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that we accept the February 3rd, 2023 special meeting minutes. All those in favor, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries. Financial report, item 5A, accounts payable for 115 and 131.23. Any questions or comments?
Sean?
Yeah. Tom?
I have two that I wasn't able to take care of prior to the meeting.
All right.
On the 15th of January, T&M Septic Service, we had a $540 charge for step pumping. Mm-hmm. And I was, this question is for John. Why can't our vac trailer do that kind of work?
Well, a couple of things. The vac trailer can, but the vac trailer doesn't have the capacity to pump out a whole septic tank. And it's not really the act of pumping it out. It's what we do with it at that point that we get the greatest benefit from contracting that out. Not only do they have the capacity in their tanks to pump out an entire step system, but they handle the ultimate disposal and transport for us, which is something that we would have difficulty with.
Thank you. One last question. On the 31st of January, Consolidated Supply, we paid them $10,000 and change for water meters, I'm assuming for stock, but it seems to me we had a purchase last month also. And how many of those meters did we purchase last month? And how many this month for that $10,000 figure?
So the meters from last month were all 3/4-inch meters. These meters were 2-inch and 1.5-inch from an order that we had placed in November of 2021.
Wow.
Oh,
and finally got.
So how many all told meters for stock did we purchase in the last 2 months?
So I believe the ones that we purchased last month we got, I'd have to look and give you a exact number. The ones this month, the 2-inch and 1.5-inch, we got a maximum of about 10 meters, maybe 15. Because the 1.5-inch and 2-inch cost a lot.
So they're about $800 a piece.
They're very expensive, yes.
Okay, that's all I had. Thank you.
All right, any other questions or comments on accounts payable? Ann?
Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for January 15th and January 31st of 2023.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that we accept the accounts payable for January 15th and January 31st. All those in favor, raise your hand and say aye.
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 All right, motion carries. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
All right, item 5B, financial report fiscal year 22-23. Does anyone have any comments or questions on the fiscal year report? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to the manager's report. John, you're up.
Thank you, Sean. A couple of things I wanted to emphasize. First and foremost, I am extremely happy to report, as most of you already know, that we finally found the large water leak that has been plaguing our system for so long. This one proved to be difficult to find because, as it turned out, the leak was on a 4-inch AC water line between Nestucca Manor and Nestucca Keys. The leak was on the west side of the road, and the leak surfaced on the riverside of the guardrail and dumped straight into the river. That's the primary reason this one was so difficult to find, but there's no question that this was the culprit behind our high unaccounted for water numbers in the last couple of months, and I think contributed to our water unaccounted for water numbers for quite a few months. I think it's a leak that had been with us for a while that we were having trouble identifying and finding, and I think the leak got bigger as demonstrated by our water production numbers over the last couple of months. And just as an example, last month we were in the mid-60s for unaccounted water. This last month we were down to about 17.6 percent. So a drastic improvement. We've also found and corrected a couple of smaller water leaks since then, so I'm expecting this number to continue to improve, and we are just very happy and very relieved that we have solved the largest part of this mystery. And going forward, we should be in much better shape. And it's like I said, sometimes these water leaks are a bit like looking for a needle in a haystack. You'll eventually find it, but it just takes some time. And I'm very, very happy that we've got this one found, located, and repaired. And and it's certainly reflected in the numbers. We project that last month alone, this water leak. Let me back up. Not last month, but the month before. We anticipate that this one water leak alone accounted for about 4 million gallons a month. So this was a huge leak, and very, very pleased that we have finally found it and got it repaired.
Hey, John, I've got a question for you on that. How much money did it cost for us to produce? I mean, as far as over the time period, how much money did we wind up losing out the river per month for producing 4 million gallons a month? How much revenue?
Well, the revenue, I mean, it's, in this case, it's the cost to produce the water that didn't yield any revenue. I don't know for sure, just because I haven't crunched the numbers. I couldn't tell you with any degree of confidence how much it costs us to produce, say, 1 million gallons. There's electrical costs, there's, equipment costs, and there's no doubt that this leak hurt us. I think it boils down to more than how much did it cost to produce than how much revenue we might have lost, because this water was never going to find its way to the customers anyway. If the leak wasn't there, we would have just produced that much less.
Right.
No. So I can try to do some calculations and do my best to quantify that. I don't have any reliable numbers for you right now, Cameron.
Could this have shown anyway, because that's towards the end of the line, and we do a flush out on that end of the line. Would it have showed up some other, you guys flush the lines for a reason to clear debris, but is there another way of also utilizing that flushing to maybe detect?
Well, I'm not sure, because I think it would have continued to leak out at the rate it was leaking. Sometimes flushing water lines puts enough stress on a water line that if there's a spot that is close to leaking, sometimes it pushes it over the edge. But I'm not sure that the act of simply flushing this line would have helped us to find it. I don't think that was likely to happen during a flushing operation, but I guess it's possible that flushing operations could have potentially made it worse, because as I described, they do have a tendency to do that just by putting stress on the pipeline. But I don't think flushing the line, or the act of flushing the line, would have played a part in this, to be honest.
Well, don't you guys flush just so much water and test, you're doing a flush and a pressure, are you doing a pressure test on that also when you flush?
Typically, we aren't doing pressure tests at the time. The object is just to increase the velocity of the water flowing through the pipe, and that scours the pipe, it cleans the pipe, and then that water is... that water is sent out of the system through a fire hydrant or through a blow-off. There's no set amount that we flush. We flush until the pipeline is running clear, and that takes longer for some pipelines than others.
Okay. Thank you.
If there's no other questions, just a couple of other things from the manager's report. We have received the 90% design submittal from Parametrics for the Ruppel Avenue Pipeline Replacement Project. We're currently reviewing that submittal and working up a package of questions and comments. But I will say that the Ruppel job appears to be progressing smoothly, and it is on schedule.
John, question. Could you send the directors a copy of that Rupel design and the project parameters of where we are right now at 90%?
Sure. As soon as I return to the office, I'll send a copy out to the entire board. We've only recently received it, but I'll definitely send each board, each director a copy.
Was there any mention in there of cost, labor cost for this? Did they mention anything in there about contractors or anything like that? I recall last time we discussed a 30% proposal that you were a little surprised at the cost that they had determined would be for labor. Did you notice anything different in this 90% design of concept?
Well, they are, you know, as you all know, this is just the engineer's cost estimate. Of course, we won't know exactly what the job's likely to cost until we start getting responses to our bid package, which is currently being put together. I believe that they're projecting a minimum of a project cost of about $850,000, a maximum of 1.1. I can say that engineers' cost estimates are usually a little inflated because they'd rather overestimate than underestimate. And you know, there's a lot of volatility in the market right now. Therefore, they've included a lot of contingency. So I've not seen a drastic change from the 30% submittal to the 90, but these are just engineering cost estimates at this point. They're all we have right now, but I'm optimistic that when the bids actually come in, that they'll come in on the low side of the estimate, not the high side. But that's probably the best I can answer that your question right now, Tom.
All right, thanks, John. That's all I have.
Cameron?
And then just a couple of other smaller items wanted to mention. We have finally filled our vacant operator in training position, and that person is performing very well as we expected they would, and so we've got that position filled. You know, this is topic for another board meeting, but I do believe that we need to add an additional operator in training position that I plan to come and discuss with the board in the coming months. But the good news is we're back to fully staffed for the first time in quite a few months, and we're happy that that's the case. Also, I wanted to mention that one of our operators, Terry Rand, completed two certification tests last month, successfully passed those certification tests. And just a small peek into next month's report, early in February, we had two other employees successfully get certification. So things are going very well with the operator training, with the operator certifications. We've got a renewed enthusiasm from the operators to pursue these certifications. And not only does that benefit the operator, but it certainly benefits the authority. And I'm very, very happy that these employees are now taking the initiative to go out and get these certifications. So that's all I have for the manager's report. Cameron, looks like you may have a question.
Yeah, I do. I'd like to get an updated list of what employees have their certificates, because That seems to have changed in the last 6 months, and kudos to Terry for doing that. Yeah, I've got a question on the Burton Slough Bridge Apartments. I don't know, what's the name for that product?
Canal House.
Canal House. Yep. Oh, you say that with a mouthful. Did that project get done? And I got a couple of questions on it.
We do. As in terms of the water and the sewer line, our work with that project is done.
The water and sewer?
Yeah.
Now, did we have on the, because I know you guys were in that hole quite a bit, on the getting under the water side, did you have to bust the asbestos line to get to that?
No, we did not.
Okay. And then I had talked to Rochelle, and this has concerned me. Three times I've called over, I don't know, the last quite a few years, and brought to the attention of, well, this last one was to Rochelle, and I don't think I've talked to you about it, that when you guys are working on any of the major streets, that the road signage hasn't been up, or it hasn't been adequate. I know that project was a dual project with you guys and...
This wasn't our project at all. We had just been asked to come by.
Well, when you
called... When you called me. Our project, and I do apologize that their signs were down.
Well, when you've got one of our person in the hole in there, I think the liability, I just want to bring it to the attention of what is our liability if, A, we have an accident with our employee, a vehicle hits any of our equipment in the road because our equipment was in the road, and there was signs that were blown over, and employees, you'd think that they would tip the signs up if they're, you know, anybody working in the road of safety of co-workers, but this has happened three times now, and I really, I'm concerned as the liability for the water district getting sued or in a huge lawsuit over this.
Well, number one, I'm reluctant to talk about it too much because it's not an agenda item. But I will say that we will keep an eye on that. I mean, the truth is that in the county's eyes, we are responsible for that project. And even though we're not the developer and we're not the developer's contractor, we could probably do a better job of keeping an eye on that. You know, during a windy day, signs blow down. Oftentimes, they're quite a ways up the road. I was not aware of the issue. I can tell you we didn't have anybody in the hole at the time that I'm aware of, but it is a safety issue, and we'll do our part to be sure that the property developers and the contractors are providing adequate signage for work performed in the road right away.
Well, when I went through, Leonard was in the hole, bent over and up and down a couple of times because I was waiting to make sure it was safe to drive by. I think, you know, we need to be our brother's keepers, even if it's a construction company that's a local here. You know, if their signs are down, let's, you know, and they're working on a project, let's take care of our brothers and make sure that they all go home. But this is a concern of mine. We paid for flaggers training, and yet, you know, it'll just take a second to do that, but then it just takes an incident of somebody getting hurt and us getting sued. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
All right, any other questions on the manager's report?
No.
All right, let's move on to item 7, unfinished business. Item 7A, accessory dwelling units.
Yeah, I didn't say a couple of words of this. So the county did approve the accessory dwelling unit ordinance for unincorporated Tillamook County. That means us. That means we'll probably be seeing some more of these go in. I know that this has been a topic of conversation recently for us. I will say, you know, there was some thought about this in terms of enforcement and what we do. Well, in terms of enforcing the design parameters for ADUs, the county has assured me that they will do so. The county has assured me that the lines of communication between us and the county will be free-flowing. And, you know, we have some existing accessory dwelling units in our service district. I think before we review our policies in terms of how much would we charge for an SDC, are we going to make people install separate service lines, I think those conversations in terms of our policy and how we handle these need to wait a bit to allow us time to report these existing ADUs to the county, give the county time to investigate these ADUs and to ensure that they are meeting the correct design criteria to qualify for this amendment that allows these units. And, you know, I'm reluctant to send these people letters and talk about SDCs and things until we find out whether the county is even going to allow these ADUs to remain as they are. I'm guessing that once the county starts to enforce these design standards, it'll force some people to actually remodel these units to eliminate the kitchen area or some other aspect that defines it as an ADU. And I don't want to get ahead of that process by attempting to assess SDU charges on these additional units until we find out if they're even going to remain. Because I'm anticipating that once the county cracks down on these design standards, that some of these ADUs that we currently have will go away. But until that process is played out, I'm reluctant to change our policies or to enforce our financial policies related to this until we know for sure how these homeowners are going to bring their units into design compliance. So that's really the only thing I wanted to say about the accessory dwelling unit. I do think we have to review our policies about this going forward, but I really think that we don't want to get ahead of the county's process to enforce their design standards in our district. So that's the only thing I wanted to say. If anybody else has any comments, please feel free to chime in.
Ann?
John, I think that's a perfect response and excellent way to handle this. It has been an issue on our minds for a long time, as you said. But I think you're developing a working relationship with the county that's going to serve us extremely well. And with this new ordinance, I look forward to some improvement in our ability to address those issues. So thank you for that effort.
John? Are we going to change what we had as a draft then back, it was from, I believe, 3, 4, or 14 meeting of the accessory dwelling units that we kind of had? So are we going to re-go through that? I don't know, Andy.
You're talking about the county? That was the county's draft.
That was the county, so then are we just going to, whatever they give us, then we'll go and adopt?
Just what John said, the new ordinance has been passed, and so we're going to start from here, and he's going to work with the county.
So did we?
It's not our ordinance.
No, but did we ever do a draft like that in this 14 or whatever?
We have an existing resolution
that most likely we will have to amend or something.
Yes. Okay.
At some point, yes.
Okay. So this will probably go out the door.
It's so old. Yeah. That's been completely rewritten. and the new ordinance that the county just passed
right.
is the end result of that.
Of all everything that came
yeah. out. So you can just put that in the your campfire.
It is recycling.
Recycling. But it did have
the recycling.
It did have some good information. I mean, kind of refresh and get updated with what, for me anyway.
Okay, item 7B, BLM R&PP lease.
Yeah, this was something that in reviewing last month's minutes that a conversation started to ensue about this at a last business meeting. It was not an agenda item, so somebody suggested that we make it an agenda item for this month. You guys recall some of my thoughts and concerns I've given about this. I will say that I did recently receive a phone call from a prominent community member who wants to help us with some of these obligations, both in the way of managing invasive species and to also build community support around moving forward with some of our other commitments that we had made regarding this. So I'm pleased that it looks like we're going to have at least one person from the community help us to spearhead this effort and be an advocate for this lease and for successfully fulfilling our commitments related to the lease. But in general, I don't have any new information to add outside of that on this topic. I know that it was put on the agenda because the minutes from last month indicated that we had made an agreement or a consensus to put it on the agenda this month. So not sure what the board would like to talk about, but I'm happy to discuss or anything or answer any questions about it, Tom.
Thank you, John. As we basically touched on in previous meetings, because we have several items to present to the public, especially after COVID has kind of shut down our in-person meetings, with good advertising over a short period of time, or maybe a long period of time, I'd like to see a public presentation at KCC this spring, possibly April or May, and possibly have two meetings at different times so we have more public input and participation for both the water and wastewater master plans. And as far as the BLM property and our water conservation plan, have a similar set of public meetings this summer. The BLM plan especially affects a lot of our summer folks that visit, as well as those who have homes here, so we would get more participation. And I'm thinking like somewhere in the neighborhood of July or late June, early July, to have those two public meetings. I'm curious as to the board's thoughts on that. Present that series of meetings.
I think that's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea, too, since we have put off public meetings because of the pandemic for the last couple of years. I think we've all regretted having to do that, but we did it for good reason. And I do think as we go back into this that it would be wise for the authority to establish the a calendar, as you're suggesting, Tom. And in establishing the calendar for the public meetings, I think we have to take a lot of factors into mind. And one of the biggest issues in my mind for creating an effective discussion and presentation, and therefore an effective meeting, is that we not try to include too much in any one session. The more focused the discussion, the more information people in the audience are going to actually take in and absorb, and the more questions we will be able to address. So whether this is two meetings or three or four meetings, I don't know exactly. And maybe we could ask Rochelle and John to think on that and suggest a schedule to us. And then knowing the preparation that's required for each one of those topics and what other parties need to be present. We had mentioned already the when we have a meeting, a public meeting on the water and wastewater master plans, we're very likely to want some of the engineering people from Portland to be here to be part of those discussions, in spite of the fact that we have John's engineering expertise on the staff now. But it's that kind of thing that I think needs to be factored into to the scheduling. And I'd look forward to seeing if John and Rochelle wouldn't mind doing that. That's what kind of idea and approach they might come up with.
Sure, I think we can put something together, a tentative calendar. I can bring it to the board for their thoughts in terms of the scheduling of these meetings and the content of these meetings. I agree, we don't want to get too broad or too diverse in our presentation. That may mean we need more individual meetings, which is okay. This is the type of thing that I'd want to work up a PowerPoint presentation. I agree that having our engineering consultants, at least one of them present for these meetings, because these plans, although I think they were our vision, were written by our consultants. They've done the hydraulic modeling. The data that is presented in the plans, they've got certainly a better handle on that than I do. And I do agree that I think having somebody from our engineering consultant there to assist with questions, I think would be very valuable.
Excuse me, we're right now on BLM property. I don't know why we're talking about this other stuff. I thought we were going to be talking about the BLM project, not this other stuff.
The BLM, they're talking about a public meeting.
Correct.
To talk about the BLM.
But I thought the original, when I was the one that brought this up, this was about, at one point, John, I think we had talked about that you wanted to possibly get out of it because of the money cost
What I did was, as I suggested to the board, that we may want to review this agreement to see if it still aligns with where we're at today, with our current visions. We have a lot of new board members who may have different ideas. I will say that the main reason I came to the board about this was to inform the board that we're falling behind on our commitments and that I can't do this alone. When this agreement was originally drafted, it was envisioned there'd be a variety of community organizations that would assist with this. That did not pan out. And so really my primary concern is that if we are going to meet our commitments, we're going to need some help. We're going to need some help from the community, some support from the community, and we're going to have to identify ways to fund some of these projects, and I wanted to bring that to the board's attention. There was some brief discussion and suggestion that maybe we should look at this entire lease to see if what we have in place here still aligns with our goals. And if it does, then we should find ways to move forward. If it doesn't, then perhaps we should consider other options.
Well, I'd like to see this. This has been hanging for some time, and it seems to have just kind of got dropped. Either we're going to move forward with doing the lease or contacting. I mean, there was quite a few people that were on this meeting. I think that those people should be contacted and other things, but I don't think we should join it up with another, with our wastewater master plan or management plan or all that. This is a separate item that needs to be addressed instead of leaving it again not taken care of.
Well, the suggestion from Tom that he wanted to get board feedback on was that we have a public meeting in July regarding the BLM RNPP lease.
Okay.
And one of the discussions that we had had previously was that we were concerned about not being able to honor our commitments, and that if this was something that the community wanted, then we needed to hear from the community. So I think that's why we're talking about having some sort of a public meeting, because we need to get the public's input as to how they view the lease.
So Sean,
and also whether or not there's people in the public that are willing to help out. Yeah, Kathy.
So I would suggest that it not be in July. July is a very busy month in Pacific City. Dory Days is in July. Yeah. And there's a lot of people involved in those kind of activities. So if you want to have a good attendance at your presentation, maybe you need to have it in June or August.
Well, what is the board's feeling? I mean, do you want to continue? Or you want more public input? I kind of get a feel. I'd like to see this finished. Yes, we're going to go ahead and honor our commitments, or we're going to, as a board, or put it back to the public.
Tom? Yeah. Tom?
Following along with Ann's suggestion, I would like to see John come back to us next meeting, make this an agenda item, as well as our other public meeting obligations that we need with that calendar, and put them where you think you can work them into your schedule and make it practical for the staff.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me.
All right, any other comments? I think we're on board with that.
Okay. Well, we will make it an agenda item for next month, and we will put together a calendar of proposed dates to have these public meetings focused on the BLM property, but also understanding that we've got a couple of other items that we'd like to discuss and we'd like the public's input on. And I'll put together an overall meeting calendar for all of these topics, and we'll see, we'll bring it to the board next meeting and see how the board feels about the schedule.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right, moving on. Item 8, new business, 8A, 23-24 budget calendar.
Yeah, Rochelle, if you could speak on perhaps the next three items, that would be a big help for me.
Sure. So everybody got a budget calendar in their board packet. Please make yourself available on those dates. We are also, well, I won't move ahead quite yet, but... this budget calendar will also go out to our budget committee members so that they can be available as well.
I have one request, and I would just like to request that the board and the budget committee have at least 3 weeks to review the budget before we have any meetings about it.
Yes.
Do you have a full budget committee now?
No. That brings me to 8B, new business. Budget right. Committee vacancy.
Now that Kathy has joined the board, we are a short new budget committee member. and so the board needs to set a date to stop taking applications for budget committee members. My suggestion would be late March so that you can appoint somebody at the April business meeting.
Do we need to make that a motion, or do we just need consensus on that timing?
Yeah.
The sooner we make a decision and appoint a member of the committee, the better.
Right. Yeah. Have we been advertising?
It's not an emergency, but
no,
yeah.
Because you have to tell us to.
Okay. So what we're talking about then is we would like staff to advertise that we have a position open on the budget committee and that we will accept applications until March 31st. Is that what I'm hearing?
That would be wonderful.
All right, yes. Is the board in consensus on that?
Sounds good.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you. Hint, hint.
Yeah, that's why I asked. Yeah.
Okay, item 8C, SDIS insurance inquiry. Rochelle?
Well, this, nobody really told me why I was doing this,
okay.
So I don't know if there was
any
background
comment.
First.
Sure.
Okay.
What I would like us to do is to have a sense of underneath our SDIS insurance policy, what are the details of the insurance as it relates to liability insurance for the authority and the board of directors.
Okay, so I got a email from my dear friends at, I'm going to the wrong week. My wonderful friends at SDIS. And Miss Chris.
SDIS is Special Districts and
Insurance
Service.
Yes. So they also
for
work with SDAO. It's just a spinoff from SDAO. And I believe that was on Monday, but I could totally be wrong. Yeah, Chris. Okay, there we go. So the coverage described in our SDIS liability coverage document applies to the district itself, as well as any liability arising from the actions of employees, volunteers, and board members acting within the course and scope of their duties. Per current liability limit is $5 million. And let's see. That's about it. He goes on to give me some examples. But so per lawsuit or liability coverage, we have up to $5 million. If something were to arise, SDAO would swoop in with their lawyers and immediately cover us.
Okay. Could you forward that email to me?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Anyone have any questions on the SDIS insurance?
No.
Were there any recommendations from our carrier and or SDAO that we have adequate coverage, or would they suggest we modify our policy in any way or increase our coverage?
There was not, no. Without giving them an exact example of a lawsuit, they didn't make any recommendations.
Do we do an insurance review every year with?
Yes, we do. Annually, we do an insurance review. John and I go over it and make sure that we have enough coverage on property, vehicles. Liability coverage hasn't really popped up as something that I've ever been worried about. So I thought I would assume that $5 million would cover us.
No,
that seems pretty typical from SDAO that $5 million is what people go with.
Is it for like the area or the type of business or
For special districts in general?
Water, airport, municipalities.
I would suggest when we do the next review, or when you do the next review, and I don't know if Schwabe would be the right people to go to, or if SDAO would be, but I believe there is a tort limit on lawsuits, liability lawsuits, and so. Maybe just get some details on that tort limit. I'm pretty sure it's less than $5 million, but I don't know if that's per person or per
incident.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't bring this up earlier, but I'd like to, for our budget and stuff, I'd like to do some comparison shopping for our insurance and other things that we do.
Us being SDAO members, SDAO does the shopping for us.
Okay.
We do get, I mean, as far as like medical coverage and stuff, we do get to choose which plan we want to go with the ones that they've set out for us that they have under their umbrella.
Okay.
But most everybody just goes with the best of the best. Whatever one's going to be the best for the employees.
But I mean, on the budget committee, or on the board, I'd like to see more of the stuff comparable that thrown at us that, because you guys make the decisions, but I'd like to be able to view other options that they have.
Okay. I can email you a copy of our what insurances we are offered during the
enrollment
period.
All right, let's move on. Item 8D, Authority Manager Review Form. Tom, you want to spearhead this one?
Yes, thank you. As you know, several times I've emailed y'all with a draft review plan, review form that incorporated a special section that utilizes the data that our HR consultant provided us with questions to our staff as to how they rate our authority manager. And because we were, as board members, several of us concerned that we do not react with staff on a daily basis, therefore we really aren't qualified to make comments on how our authority manager works with staff. Anyway, there was Rochelle sent out the draft I came out with, along with, I had asked our new director, Kathy, to, because of her extensive past experience in personnel, HR business experience, if she would also review that for us, and her comments were also included. So I'd like to make a suggestion. I don't think I need this be an action item, but a suggestion that we put together my draft and Kathy's comments and any other comments that other directors may have, let's say within the next week or two, and to send those to our current HR consultant who put those questions together for staff consultation, and get her opinion as to how that would best be fit into that this suggested review form.
I like that idea.
I like that idea very much, Tom. I was going to suggest it myself. So.
Any other comments?
No, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, item 8E, resolution customer water leaks.
Yeah, first of all, I want to apologize to everybody for being so tardy to get this sent out to you. I didn't give the board much time to review this. As I said in my email, if the board members have had time to look this over, I would like to see if the board would entertain a motion to adopt this new resolution. If there are some board members that have not had time to give this the look that they feel it deserves, we could table it until the next meeting. But it really depends on the board status as it stands right now. Has the board had an opportunity to review this? Do they have any questions or concerns, or is this something in its current form that the board would be willing to adopt?
Tom?
John, the resolution you sent out to us that we would quantify as 23-02 5, something like that. And unfortunately, I went through this and made suggestions relating to the 23-01 that we just changed in relation to water leaks, that we recompensate minor leaks from the meter to our customer's residence. And I think that the way it's presently written, the old one, 05 or whatever it was, that major water leaks need to be, all the provisions in it just need to be deleted, with the exception of if it's a major water leak, we're going to turn the water off, period. Not make exceptions for hardships. We're in the water conservation thing. If it's a major water leak, it's a major water leak. I mean, we know what a major water leak is. We just experienced one. So it needs to be fixed right now. So I disagree with the way the old one is, and I believe I had sent an edited copy to y'all, all the other directors, and I think probably the best way to go forward is to table this until everybody's had their say on it, because as I recall, they're both kind of interrelated. So I think we ought to table it and revisit it next month after everybody's had a good chance to look at this.
You guys can't see me, so you can't see me raising my hand. Just so the board is aware that there are some conditions that would make it illegal for us to terminate the water, even in the event of a big water leak. And some of those conditions might be the occupant's health. Some of those conditions might be whether there are small children present. So I just want the board to know, and I'm not an expert on this, but I know this from experience, that even if there's a big water leak, there are laws out there that would prevent us from not restoring that water.
Well, that's an important thing to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you see what... research those laws for us so we know how to proceed with policy here?
Sure. And I know a couple of them are listed. We've also listed a couple of things that aren't protected by law, like, you know, business related concerns and so forth. But I will research those. There's no reason we can't table this till next month, but interested in any of the other comments the other board members might have so that I can make the necessary adjustments.
John, I have questions and concerns. Do you want me to briefly outline them here, or since we're tabling this, would you like me to just respond in an email?
Well, I think either way is fine. I think, you know, if you guys would like to just send me those questions and comments. Tom, I did see your comments because I know there are some protected statuses that people could be put in medical jeopardy if we shut off their water and stuff. That's why I was reluctant to pull those out of the resolution. Just putting this into context for the board. So the resolution that we did last month pertained to customer water leaks on their side of the water meter, primarily in establishing a program for financial assistance for people that have qualifying water leaks. This one is related in the sense that it is also a resolution focused on water leaks on the customer side of the water meter, but the purpose of this resolution, the way I read it, was in to promote our water conservation efforts. Obviously, we can't allow water leaks to go unchecked forever. Even if the property owner wants to pay the additional charges on the bill. So that's the intent of this one. They do have some overlap, and that's why I wanted to review this one next. If we're going to not offer financial relief provisions for qualifying folks for major water leaks, that means I have to go back and amend the resolution we just approved last month. So, it's probably worth some thought and some discussion. But my suggestion at this point would be let's table this until next month. I'll do some research on those qualifying conditions that would legally prevent us from discontinuing water service. And if you guys can make your questions and concerns, comments known to me in the meantime, I will do my best to incorporate those.
John, now would a like a elderly home that I don't know if we have any like where you take care of anything
like a senior living or something?
Right. Do we have anything in our? Do we have provisions for anything? If would that be also considered in this that we can?
If there's anybody there that has qualifying medical conditions, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Is there somebody that gets dialysis treatments at home? So I think it would be based more off of medical needs, medical concerns and conditions, than it would be necessarily just strictly based off the age of the occupants, whether they are elderly or very young. But there are considerations and there are hardship cases that by law we have to honor.
I wonder if anybody in the community knows that.
It seems to me, John, in the language you used in item 9, that would, the second line says, or other critical water requirements. It seems to me that the example you just proposed about dialysis would certainly fit into that rubric. And it also seems to me unrealistic to include every single last detail because those situations are dynamic in the law. And I think we have good language in that sense to incorporate and adjust our practices according to the law, which obviously we would want to do.
Would it be covered like as far as a medical condition?
Other critical water requirements. Broad scope. Allows us to decide what's critical, and that would be based on what's legal.
All right, so we're going to table this, and if everybody would get their questions and comments to John in the next few weeks here so we can have a discussion at the next meeting. All right, item 9, guest questions and comments. Matt, you have any questions or comments?
No.
Do you need an application for the financial, the budget?
And do we have any online guests?
Tim is our only online guest.
It's on the website?
I don't know if he really wants to make a comment, though.
It will be coordinated and announced and made available.
That's what he was asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
It will be watch the newspaper because there will be a public announcement.
And you'll be able to fill it out on the computer?
I will put it on the website.
Okay. All right. Item 10, chair director comments.
I have got... John, you didn't talk about your new form. I'm impressed by it, but Rochelle was kind of explaining it a little bit to me. So if you could kind of give a level of why and kind of explain your...
Yeah, I can say a couple of words about it. This is a form that I put together just to try to pull all the parameters we use in determining our unaccounted for water status on a single form. previously they were scattered across five or six internal farms. And so I think not only is this a better tool for us, I think it's a better tool for people that work at the authority every day to understand and to follow along how these are calculated. Are you guys hearing me okay?
Yep. Yeah.
Do you have a dog with you?
You've got two.
You got a squeak.
Logins.
Oh.
And I don't know which one of you to mute.
Or feedback through.
Are you on the telephone also?
No, I'm only on via the computer.
There okay. We go. For some reason, you're logged in twice, and I don't know how to get to you.
Well, that's probably going to make up for last month. You didn't want to let me log my other dog. I think we're almost done, so hopefully you guys can hear me clearly enough to get to through this topic. So basically, we're comparing water production numbers to water consumption numbers, but we're also pulling in processed water that we use, that we know is water we made, but not water that we send to our customers. Flushing water, we have to, when we identify a water leak, we attempt to estimate to the best of our ability the amount of the water leak. But one thing, too, that we're factoring in that we hadn't really factored in previously is the change in reservoir elevation. If the reservoir elevation changes, for example, if it gains in elevation this month from last month, well, we made some more water that hasn't made it to the customer's water meters yet. It's trapped in limbo between production and consumption. But that is water produced that we want to account for, or water use that we want to account for in our monthly unaccounted for water calculations.
So does that also account for what's in the lines?
No, we don't account for what's in the lines because presumably the lines are always full and the volume is unchanging month to month.
Okay.
Sean, I have a comment.
Tom?
I'd like to take this moment to congratulate staff on their certification updates. I think it's a good thing for the authority. It's a good thing for the employees. And I congratulate all who participated the last couple of months.
Yep, I agree.
That's for comments on to staff, John.
Thank you.
I agree, too.
Cameron, did you have any more?
I think that's it.
Okay. Ann?
Yeah, top of my list was what Tom just said. I'm very pleased to see the additional training that's being completed and the certifications, and apparently we have more we're going to hear about next month. So this is excellent news, and I was glad to hear, too, that we've welcomed another team member. All in all, it's a really good month in terms of staffing and staff development. I'd also like to publicly note the passing of longtime authority director Carolyn McVicker. Carolyn was tireless in her work on behalf of the community, and PCJWSA was just one of her many efforts to make the community a better place for all of us. She left her mark through her leadership on our board as we worked our way through the rebuilding of the airport lift station, the reclamation of Horn Creek as our primary water supply, and the complete rebuild of our wastewater treatment plant. And she provided invaluable support to a total of three authority managers as well as all of us board members. I think we would all like to be thought of on our passing as someone who left the world a better place than we found it. To our friend Carolyn, I think we can say mission accomplished.
Amen.
Here.
I called her cell phone and listened to her voice, and it was just...
Kathy, any comments?
No, thank you.
All right, and I would just please pass on my thanks and congratulations to Terry as well. All right, we are adjourned at 6:12 p.m.